Happy New Year. Okay, that was really, really weak. We got to do better than that. Happy New Year. There you go. All right. And this can be a Happy New Year. Everything around us in the world is changing so dramatically and so rapidly. And probably the one thing that we can say is certain is that tomorrow is not so certain. Right? Often, though, we fail to see that there is hope and change. Everything's always changing, and for good, bad, and different. Change always brings an opportunity. And when we fail to see this, we focus on the obstacles and we focus on the problems. We look at the mountains that are in front of us because of the change, and we become overwhelmed, and sometimes we become pessimistic about the change that we're facing. But in spite of everything that's changing, in spite of all this that's going on so dramatically in our world around us, we can have optimism, because I know for sure that the God that we serve never changes. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. He's still got purpose. He's still faithful. He's sovereign, and we can put our faith in that. And I love this time of the year, not because of all the New Year's resolutions and all the goals, because frankly, we kind of make those every week, and we kind of break them. So that's really not why I love this time of the year, but I do love this time of the year is because it's a time for a new start, a fresh beginning. We can discard all the junk and all the baggage that we've accumulated over the past year, and we can start fresh and new. We can focus on the things that are most important and focus on the priorities in our lives. There's a story about some American soldiers who served in the Korean War. And these soldiers had rented a small place to stay while they were there serving. And they hired a little young boy to take care of their needs, basically, in this little cottage that they'd rented. He was going to be their kind of maid. He was going to clean for them and serve them, cook for them. And they hired this little guy because he had such a yes face. He was just such a positive, vibrant young kid. And he was full of life. And they were so excited to bring this little guy on. And always had joy in his heart. And being typical Americans, probably soldiers, they were kind of practical jokers. And so they started playing jokes on this little boy every day, just for fun, just because it was something to do. They would nail his shoes to the floor every day, and he'd have to take the pliers out and pry them out and pull them out. They would grease the pots and pans that he would use, and so he'd have to go in there and rub them out. And all through this, he never stopped smiling. He never stopped having a positive attitude. He would sing for joy. And they were just baffled by this. This little kid had such a great attitude. And then they began to feel kind of bad. They began to kind of feel guilty, ashamed of themselves. And so they decided they were going to have to apologize to this little guy. And one day they pulled him aside and they said, "You know what? We're really sorry. We're not going to play any more jokes on you anymore. And we really feel terrible about this. We feel so guilty." And the little boy looked up at him. He says, "You no more know my shoes on the floor?" And they said, no, we're, you know, that was dumb. We should have never done that. That was stupid." And he says, "You no more rub the grease on the pots and the pans and the handles and knobs? No, we're not going to do that anymore." And the little boy looked up at him with a big smile and he says, "Then I no more spit in your soup." Sometimes I think we approach life's difficulties and frustrations and problems and we spit in the soup. And Scripture says this: no matter what the circumstances we're going through in life, we don't have to spit in the soup. Our Lord is in control. He knows what's going on. And he's promised to work all things out to the good to those who love him, and to those who have been called according to his purpose. Ken talked about that last week. He's the one who changes all circumstances. And he's the one who changes our hearts. So this morning, I just want us to focus on Jesus. That's what we're going to do over the next several minutes. This is his church. We're his people. And he wants us to trust him so completely with what he has for us in the future. And so I just want us just to focus on him. New Year's is a time of new beginnings. And that's kind of going to be something you're going to hear me say over and over again. It's nothing profound. It's just the truth. New Year's is a time of new beginnings. So when you leave here, I want you to be thinking that. And the reason why I'm saying that, the reason why I'm so confident in saying that, is because Jesus is in control. He's on the throne. He reigns. He's our leader. And he wants us to focus on a new, fresh beginning here at River Lakes. And there's a passage in the book of Isaiah. I just have you turn to the book of Isaiah. It's about halfway through the Bible after Psalms and Proverbs. There's a passage in that book that talks exactly about this very thing, this new beginning, this new start. And it's in verses 18 and 19, the book of Isaiah. God's people were going through a tough situation. They were anxious about the future. And he just reminds them that you're my people and I'm your Savior. So in verse 18, he says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing, and it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I am doing a new thing." In these verses, the Lord's just telling his people, I have a new beginning for you. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. I'm making a way in the desert for you. And all the past miracles, all the faithfulness that I have shown you, nothing is nothing, nothing compared to what I have for you in the future. And I believe that's where he's got us right now here at River Lakes. He's saying, don't dwell on the past. Don't hold on to the former things. I got a new thing for you. I'm doing a new thing here at this church. And he wants us to look forward to that. Will you guys pray with me as we pray for the remainder of our time? Father, I just thank you that you are a God of new beginnings. As the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, we must forget the past. We must let go of what is behind us. We must strain forward for what is ahead. We must press on and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must focus on Jesus, and our hope is in him. And so for these next few minutes, Lord, I just pray that for each one of us here, that we would lay aside the distractions, maybe things that we brought in, worries and problems. Just lay that aside, and that we would just focus on Jesus. And we would be encouraged and excited as a body of believers for the future plans that you have for us. And that we would see the truths of your word come alive in our hearts today, and that we would step forward in faith and obedience and follow you wherever you lead us. And we ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to look forward to the future today. And we're going to ask the question, why are we here? Why are we here? We're going to shed away all the things that we hold on to, all the things that weigh us down. I'm just going to push it aside. That's what New Year's is about. New Year's is time to refocus and to remember. And what is the purpose of River Lakes Community Church? What's the purpose of our church? Why are you here this morning? Why do you gather here every week? Why do you serve in ministries? Why are you involved in small groups? What's the purpose of our church? And I believe it's very clear in God's word, very clear in this book. He tells us what the purpose of the church is. And so I'm going to try to bring that out by asking three questions, and I call them the three most important questions that we can ask in life. And so that's what I'm going to ask over the next few minutes. What is the most important thing that you should know? What's the most important thing you should become? And what's the most important thing that you should do? And the answer to these questions aren't going to be what the world would tell you the answers are. I'm going to try to bring out what I think Scripture tells us, and what God has showed us is the purpose of this church. So we are going to get to your outline in your bulletin. First question on the page, number one question is, what is the most important thing that you should know? What's the most important thing that you should know? I think the Bible is very clear about this. The most important thing is to know Christ. Know Christ. I ask you to turn to the book of John. It's the fourth gospel in the New Testament. And as you're turning there, John, we're going to look at John 17, and that's really the last words of Jesus' prayer right before he's betrayed, right before he's going to go to the cross and give up his life. This is his last prayer. This is what was on his heart. And in John 17:3, he says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There is nothing more important in this life than to be assured of where you're going in eternity. There's nothing more important than that. Our lives are like a mist. They're like a vapor. We're only here for a short while. We're only here for a moment. And I know that's a bummer for a lot of us. A lot of us think, oh, I've been here a long time. No, it's really only a short while. But eternity is forever. And in John 17, Jesus declares his deity. He says, I am God. I'm the creator. And I created you to have a relationship with me. And our soul is restless unless we can find rest in Jesus. And he says, later on, he says, to know him is to have eternal life. To know Jesus is to have eternal life. But the problem for us as humans is that sin has separated us from this relationship that he desires for us. And the whole account of Scripture, the whole purpose in this Bible is the story of God's redemptive plan to restore that relationship between us and the Creator. And this whole plan is centered around his son Jesus. And Jesus left the throne, the majesty, the glory of heaven, and he entered the human race as a little baby. And that's what we've just celebrated at Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came to earth. And then he lived a perfect, sinless life. He experienced everything that we experienced, the pain, the temptations, the struggles, everything that we go through, Jesus went through. And yet he never sinned. And then at the end of his ministry, the end of his days here on the earth, he willingly went to the cross and gave up his life for each one of us. He paid the debt for our sins that we could never pay for ourselves. And for all of us who placed our faith in him, who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have this free gift of grace that he gives us because of that death on the cross, and we're given his righteousness. And that's what we just celebrated and what we just remembered as we took communion together. It's what he told us to do as regularly as we could, to remember this great gift of grace that he gives us. And then, after 3 days in the grave, he rose from the dead. And he defeated sin and death. And he proved to us that we can have eternal life if we put our life in his hands. God removed that sin barrier through Jesus Christ. And when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that relationship that we were created for is restored. That is the most important thing, to know Jesus. And if you peel everything away in life, it really comes down to two choices that we have. First choice is that we can accept that free gift of grace that he offers through his death on the cross. We can accept that through faith. And when we do, Jesus promises that we're going to be with him for all eternity. But the other choice we can make is to reject Jesus, to reject that free gift of grace. And what this book says is that if you take that step, you're going to be separated from him for all eternity. A few chapters earlier in the book of John, in John 14, 6 through 7, Jesus makes it really clear about the importance of knowing who he is. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Jesus is really clear that the only way to the Father is through him. And he's really clear when he says that to know Jesus is to know the Father. So to know Christ is the most important thing you can know in this life. And there may be some of you out there today, there may be some of you in this audience, a lot of people here, and maybe you haven't taken that step. Maybe you don't know Jesus personally. Maybe you don't have that assurance of eternal life. And you're saying, man, I want that. You can do that today. You can settle that right now today. You can settle that by saying, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came to this earth, lived the perfect sinless life. I believe you died on that cross for my sins. And then after 3 days, you rose from the grave. I believe you did that. And I accept that free gift of grace that you offer to me. And if you pray that prayer right now, or you pray it in just a few minutes, if you pray that prayer, you're his for all eternity. You're with Jesus for all eternity. That's an awesome, awesome step to take. Milt Cole has served this church as our senior pastor for 25 years. He's still on staff. He serves in our senior ministry. He leads our seniors in our pastoral care. And recently, a few weeks back, he officiated a funeral of a man that had served in our church for many, many years, a godly man. And this man was dying of cancer, and he only had a few more days, he knew it, to live on earth. And he had this amazing peace, this amazing confidence, and he was almost giddy with excitement because he was going to be with Jesus in a couple of days. And right before he went into a state of unconsciousness because of the cancer, he was sitting down with one of his sons, and his son just could see this amazing peace that he had. And he said, "Dad, what do you want me to tell the people at your funeral? What do you want me to tell people after you pass away and go to heaven?" And the man looked up at his son and he says, held his hand tight, he says, "Tell them it's true. Tell them it's true. Jesus is worth it. And giving your life to him is the most important thing you can do." Because that man had total peace, total confidence that he was going to be with Jesus for all eternity. And for us as believers, what we're supposed to do, what we're left here on this earth to do, is to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. And have you ever wondered why Jesus leaves us here? You ever wondered that? I mean, once we accept him, once we give our life to him in faith, our sins are forgiven, our soul is saved, and our eternal destiny is determined. It's already determined. So why does he keep us here? I mean, it would be a lot easier, a lot less painful. He'd just take us to be home with him, right? Why does he leave us here? Because by some amazing, unbelievable plan, God has planned that we should be a part of the salvation process. He wants us to tell others about the hope and the confidence that we have because we've placed our faith in Jesus. Once we were lost, once we were hopeless, once we were searching, but Jesus found us. And because of that, all of our hope, our purpose, our salvation is wrapped up in him. And he wants us to tell others about that. That's why we stay here. That's why we're kept here. It's not about making a lot of money, having a big job and a big title. It's not about a nice house and accumulating a bunch of stuff. It's not about enjoying all the pleasures, the comforts of life. That's not why we're here. We're left here to tell others about Jesus. That's why he has us here. He wants us to communicate the good news of his saving grace to anybody that will listen. And it is so sad when a church is in a community and they make no impact on that community for the name of Christ. And I am so thankful that that is not us here at River Lakes. This church has absolutely been committed to sharing the gospel message. There's so many of you that share your faith in Jesus on a regular, daily basis. And that has been such an example to all of us for so many years. And we have absolutely, that's been a cornerstone of who we are. And that's been a driving force of who we are. And that's never going to change. That's who we are at River Lakes. We're going to share our faith in Jesus Christ with anybody that will listen. And in most churches around the country, they cannot tell you of one person that has been saved by the saving grace of Jesus in a year. You guys know that? Most churches around the country, there's not one person that they can say and they can look to and say that person was saved. But that's not the case here. Just last month, just a couple of weeks back, we sponsored a women's event, women's Christmas brunch. 32 women gave their life to Jesus Christ for the first time. God is working in and through this body of believers. Our youth, we've seen over and over all year, we've seen so many of our kids coming to faith in Jesus. And so many of them have stepped forward and been baptized right there in that baptism. You guys have seen that. God is working in and through this body. God has more for us to do. But we have barely scratched the surface of the potential of what God has for us in reaching the lost. It's the power of God is in the gospel. The power of God's in the gospel. And it's what turns hearts from hopelessness to hope. And people are in this world that we come across every day, and they are craving something that will give them hope. They're craving the reality of the living God. And why we're left here, why we still are here, is to tell people about Jesus. They're telling that the hope, the confidence, the peace that we have is because we've given our life to Jesus. And you have that opportunity every week in your everyday lives, everywhere you go, whether it be with your families and those relationships, whether it be in your jobs where you work, whether it be in your neighborhoods, whether it be in things you attend, we all have that opportunity to reflect the love and the grace of Jesus and to tell him the hope that we have. And in a couple weeks, we have a couple of events that are coming up that are specifically designed to tell people about Jesus Christ, tell them about the hope. One is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Banquet. It's going to be on February 7th. It's going to be right here in this room. And those guys gather here, athletes, coaches, family, friends, they're going to be here. And we have a young man that's going to be the featured speaker. And that man's name is Derek Carr. Derek attended Bakersfield Christian High School. He went on to play football up at Fresno State. And he's been there for the last couple years. And this past season is a season just as ending. Last game is coming up here in a couple days. But Derek is the top-rated passer in the country. Set all kinds of records. In a couple of months, he's going to be one of the top draft picks in the NFL. But he's going to sit on the stage, and he's not going to talk about that. He's not going to talk about all his accomplishments that he had on the football field. That doesn't mean anything to him. He has such a powerful testimony of how Jesus Christ has transformed his life. And that's what he's going to share with all the people that are going to be here. So I encourage you, if you don't have a ticket for that, get a ticket. Be here that night, February 7th. Bring people who don't know Jesus because it's going to be powerful. He has a powerful testimony. And then in a couple of months, we're going to be at the Riverwalk Park and we're going to celebrate Easter. And I know you guys think that's a long ways off, but actually it's only about 3 months away. And we have a tremendous opportunity as River Lakes Community Church to go out there. God has given us this gift to go out there and to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so you're going to hear us challenging, encouraging you guys to invite people to come to that. There's going to be 5,000-6,000 people there. We're going to go out and we're going to canvas the neighborhoods right around our church. And we're going to ask people to come. And I guarantee you, they're going to hear the truth of the gospel message of Jesus Christ that day. So that's exciting. Things that we have in front of us to share the truth of Jesus. And Paul states this more passionately than I can state up here. So I'm just going to read to you what he says in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 8. Passionate statement by the Apostle Paul. He says, "But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Powerful, powerful statement. And I check myself, do I have that attitude? Do I count everything as loss because of a gain in Christ? I ask you guys, do you have that attitude? Here's Paul, this accomplished man, and I mean he was an accomplished man. He didn't care anything about that. He counted everything as loss because in comparison to the greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So are we placing anything above that relationship with Jesus? Just ask you guys, check your own hearts. Are we placing anything above that relationship? Number two in your outline. We are going to get through the outline. Trust me. Number two, the second most important question. What is the most important thing that you should become? What's the most important thing that you should become? And what we become matters so much to our Lord. And the Bible says really clearly that he wants us to grow in Christ. Grow in Christ. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Jesus Christ." God's goal for each of us is to become more like Jesus. God's work for us begins when Jesus died on that cross. God's work in us begins when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And then once we do that, we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, and that's who enables us to become more like Jesus each and every day. That's who helps transform us. And as believers, we're in this lifelong process of growth and maturity to become more like him. It starts when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and it continues until the day that we meet him face to face in glory. Sorry, I know we're a microwave society and we like things to happen quick, but that's how God planned it. It's a lifelong process. Another passage that we hold strongly to around here is Colossians 1, 28 through 29. It talks about this very thing, this transformation process. It says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the Apostle Paul talking about his job description, what he was all about. And this is the job description that the leadership here at River Lakes, the pastors, the elders, this is what we hold dearly to. Everything that we do here, everything that River Lakes is about, everything that drives us, is so people will know Jesus Christ and that they will grow in Jesus Christ and that relationship with him. God's desire is that we become more like Jesus. And our commitment to you as pastors and elders is that we are going to create a place, we're going to have a place here where we can grow and we can mature in that relationship that he's called us to. And the most important thing in life is not what we do. The most important thing is what we become. And we kind of get that backwards. We're people, we like to do things. We like to be accomplishing stuff. But that's not the most important thing to God. The most important thing is who we become. Let me ask you a question. What did it cost you to get into heaven? Nothing. What did it cost God? Everything. It cost him his son. And he says, if you will come to me, and if you desire to grow, I will make a way for you. The only thing that's going to cost you is a commitment to say to the Lord that I am willing to grow. That's the only cost you're going to have. Now, he may ask you to give up some things along the way, and you may feel like that's a cost to you. But honestly, when you sit there and you start letting go of those things that you're holding so tightly to, you start letting those things go, you realize that it is just a bunch of smelly, rotten garbage that you've been clinging to. And it has created a life of disappointment, unfulfillment, and total non-satisfaction. And what he gives you, what he's offering you, if you will commit to that, is a life that's filled with the gold, refined and purified, that he wants to give us as we commit to grow in him. So how are you growing? Will you commit to make this a year of growth in your relationship with Jesus? Will you commit to do that? You could start next week. Start next week. We're going to, just by committing to be here in a worship service, we're going to start a new sermon series next week in the book of Mark. And the title of that series is going to be Collide, When Heaven Meets Earth. When Heaven Meets Earth. And for the next several months, we're going to go through the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to just look at Jesus. We're going to go chapter by chapter. And the Gospel of Mark paints Jesus as the servant Savior. It's going to be an in-depth study of who Jesus is, and it's going to challenge each of us week in and week out to become more like him. And so I encourage you guys to be here. And because of this transition that we're going through, this time of change, we're going to have some different guys up here that are going to be giving the message out from the pulpit. They're going to be up here for weeks, long stints. They're not going to be changing every week, but we'll have different guys up here during that period. Dr. Brent Van Elswick, he's the head of our pastor of our counseling area and our pastoral care area. He'll be up here. Matt Voorhees, he's the pastor of our student ministries. Rob Ryerson is the pastor of our junior high ministries. Ken Alvis, he's the pastor of our community groups and assimilation areas. Those guys will be up here. And I just want to tell you guys, they are godly men. They are gifted. They are talented. And they may have different styles. I may have a different style. But they love Jesus, and they love this church, and they love this word. And they're going to be up here preaching you the truth and the principles of this word. They're going to be showing you more of Jesus every week with power, with passion, with conviction, and with commitment. And so I just challenge you guys, encourage you guys, be here. Be here as we go through the Gospel of Mark and we learn more about Jesus. In conjunction to being here each week, I just encourage you to get involved in a small group relationship. Community groups are going to start back up next week. At the end of the service, I'm going to ask you guys to go out there. If you aren't in a group, and I'm going to ask you to get involved. community groups, we're going to go through sermon-based study. So basically everything we're preaching up here on a Sunday morning, we're going to go in-depth through studies in our community groups. Great place to learn and grow. Great place to reinforce what we have every Sunday. Other smaller group relationships, our women's ministry is going to start up in a couple of weeks. They're going through the book of John, the fourth gospel in the New Testament. They're going to be looking at Jesus just the same as in the book of Mark. And they're going to go through powerfully, intensely in the book of John. Be in that. If you guys can be in that, be there. Thursday morning and Tuesday nights. Our men's ministry, Ken mentioned it earlier, we have a breakfast schedule next week where we're going to launch the small groups for men. We're going to get here and we're not just going to talk about bacon. We're going to come here and we're going to actually talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about where we're going. So I encourage you, get involved in the small group. I can tell you personally, and I know many of you out there, the most transformation that occurred in my life was in being involved in a small group relationship. That's where I lived life with other people, life on life, where I was held accountable, where I got into scripture and studied and all the questions I had and all the troubles and all the difficulties I was going through. People walked through that journey with me together. We prayed for each other. We cried together. That's what a small group's about. So I encourage you to get involved with that. Another way to grow in your relationship with Christ is your prayer life. And elders and pastors in our church have called us to congregational prayer, to a time of transformational prayer. It's every morning, every Sunday morning, excuse me, at 10:30. We started last week. They're going right now. There's people over there right now praying, just on their knees before the Lord, communicating with God, communing with God, and asking Him to lead this church, asking Him to deal with people's struggles and hurts and pains in life, asking us for our nation, asking Him for the world, asking that we would be a people that would be passionate to share the love of Jesus with others. So commit to a prayer time. A couple weeks, we're going to start our life transformation classes. That's where most of those are on Sunday morning, where you come together and you study books of the Bible, you study topics, the disciplines that you develop in your life. You go through specific things. You look more in-depthly in the scripture. Deep studies of the Bible. And it's where you find out more about Jesus. If you can be in those, be in those. Another vehicle that might assist you in your growth is really you might be hurting, you might be struggling, you might know somebody else that is. Somebody that's really going through a difficult time. We have one of the premier lay counseling ministries for a church in the country here. Most of you don't know that. We have a premier lay counseling ministry. And those people are intensely trained, and they love to help people. And so if you're in that situation, man, contact the church office. If you need help, go contact those guys. That will help you in your growth process. We have support groups that meet passionate hearts to help women who've been sexually abused, women of hope, women who have struggled or have dealt with cancer. We have grief counseling, people that have gone through grief counseling and dealt with those things. Adam's House. Places where people have been addicted to drugs or alcohol, where they can go and get help and support. We have so many things going on. In a couple weeks, we have a grief counseling seminar that's going to be held right here on this campus. And we have one of the foremost guys in grief and crisis counseling in the country going to head that up, Dr. Norm Wright. He attends this church. And he's going to be here, and he's going to talk about how to deal with grief and crisis. If you're in that spot or if you know somebody there, invite them on January 25th to be here for that. We're looking to have things that we support marriages, that we deal with finances down the road. And I don't think a lot of you know that we have a really strong, near and dear to our heart, Hispanic ministry that we started a couple years back. And we've been trying to build this up. And most people don't really recognize or know that in our community that surrounds, that we live in, over 50% of our population is Hispanic. And there are very, very few churches that preach the truth. And so we want to provide them an environment where they can learn about Jesus Christ in their native tongue, and we've started that ministry. And we're excited about that, so pray for them. And if you want to be a part of that, just contact the church office. Richard Garcia, one of our elders, heads up that ministry. It's another way to start that growth process. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To grow in that grace and knowledge, you have to know Him. God's desire for us is that we would become like His Son, Jesus. And it's not just to know about this book. He wants us to know about the author of the book. So commit to that. Commit to grow in your walk with Christ this year. Third question in your outline, the third most important question, What is the most important thing that we should do? What is the most important thing that we should do? So in the process of becoming who we are in Christ, we also have to line up our doing. And God's desire is that we go for Christ. Go for Christ. So the first question we asked had to do with the importance of knowing, and the importance of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The second question that I asked had to do with the importance of who we were becoming, grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this third question has to do with lining up who we are, what we are doing, going for Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew. I'm going to look at Matthew 28. This is the last words of Jesus before he ascended up to heaven. It's kind of our marching orders that he gives us. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." These verses are what is known as the Great Commission. They're our marching orders. They're filled with action statements. It says, go and make disciples. Teach, baptize, influence people for Jesus. Make Jesus known. All of us Christians have a God-given ministry. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, every one of us who's taken that step of faith has been given at least one spiritual gift. Spiritual gift is a gift, a natural ability that the Holy Spirit gives you. And the purpose of that gift is to build up the body of Christ. So the question is, how are you doing with that spiritual gift? Some of you may not even know what that gift is. And we have resources, we have tools that can help you identify that. But what I want to encourage you is you're never going to know what your gift truly is until you get involved, until you start serving somewhere. Until you go in there and you start saying, I'm passionate about this. This is what gets me excited. This is what fires me up. I see the fruit of what I'm doing for the kingdom of God. Other people in the body are affirming and they're confirming this gift that I have. But you have to get involved. And when you commit your life to Jesus, you're exhorted and you're challenged to do exactly what he did. And what he did is he laid his life down for each one of us. And while he was on earth, he gave us an example of how he wanted us to live. He wanted us to give up our lives for his sake. A couple of chapters prior in the book of Matthew, Matthew 20, talks about this very thing. These are Jesus' words. This is what he said to us. Matthew 20, 26 through 28. "It shall not be among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came to be served, but came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Those are the words of Jesus. Completely opposite from what the world tells us, right? Completely opposite. Instead of using people, Jesus said we should serve him. Jesus' mission was to serve others and to give his life away. He taught us that we are to appreciate the worth of other people and that there is no job that is beneath us, no matter what our title is, no matter what our role is, no matter who we are. If there's a need, we're to meet that need. We're to serve others. And when we give our lives away, we're giving away the love of Christ. We were reflecting that love that he's given to us. Before you were born, God set you apart and he appointed you. He appointed the place that you would live and he appointed the time that you would live right now. He laid his life down for you and he's calling you to lay your life down for him. So will you give your life away for his sake? Will you give your life away for his sake? Where might that be? It might be in children's ministry. We always have a need for Sunday school teachers and helpers. And most of you probably don't know that studies show that when people commit their life to Jesus, most of the time it's when they are young, when they are kids. So you have a great opportunity to have an impact on a young person's life that will help him make that decision that will impact his life for eternity. So we have a great need in our children's ministry. You might just take a step of faith and serve there. On the other spectrum, we have a great need in our seniors' ministry. In our society, most people discard, disrespect, devalue our seniors. And we don't do that here. We don't want to do that here. We have a thriving seniors' ministry. A bunch of people that come there every week, they sit in multi-class right behind that wall there, and they come in this service, and they would love to have you help them and serve them. They'd love to have you be a part of their lives. They'd love to have you show the love and respect that you have for them. It's a place to serve. Maybe it's in your assimilation ministries. Assimilation ministries are our ushers and our greeters, our parking people, our information center people. Those are really the people that, when visitors come, that's the people that first touch them. We always have a need for that. It's a step of faith to get involved. 2014, we're going to go back and we're going to focus more on our outreach ministries. One of the best ways that you can show the love and the grace of Christ is to help the needy and the poor. That's a command and a principle in Scripture. So we're going to be back on focused on that. Whether it's getting involved in the rescue mission, the Lift Ministry, Flood, Love Inc., there might be things that we do here specifically. We're going to encourage you to take a step of faith and help the poor and the needy. Maybe you're called to go on a short-term mission trip. We have a couple of trips that are going to occur in just a couple of weeks. Maybe that, and there's more coming down the road. Maybe you're going to be called for that. Maybe God's going to say, I'm going to really challenge you to step out and go on a short-term mission trip. On February 23rd, we're going to have Mission Day. We haven't had that in a long time. And we're going to focus back on the fact that River Lakes has always been a mission-sending church. That's what our heart is, always been. And we're going to spend that whole service focusing on what God is doing in and through this body of believers around the world. And we're going to challenge each of us. What is the part you might play in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth? The greatest thing you can do is to go for Christ. He may ask some of you to pick up and to go somewhere else, but most likely what the Lord is going to call you to do is to serve somewhere right here, to take a step of faith, just to get involved. Where is it that he might be nudging you, even this morning? Where might he be pushing you to trust him, take a step of faith, to serve in his church? I know a man who almost 30 years ago, is probably like a lot of you out there today, he loved this church. He loved coming, he was faithful, loved the messages that were preached every Sunday from the pulpit. His wife was involved in the church, she was growing, serving, now was a great blessing to him. His kids were involved in Sunday school. They were growing like weeds, and it was just a great, great place to be. He loved this church. And he was content to come on Sunday mornings and sit in the church and just be fed. And he soaked in everything that was being preached, and he took it to heart, and he was growing, but he was content just to be fed and to take advantage of some of the things that the church offered. And one Sunday after church, he went home, he and his wife, and they were getting ready for the next, they were in their closet dressing, getting ready for the next event of the day. And he was talking about how great the message was and how much it had blessed him. And his wife stopped and she just said, you know, the Lord has been pouring into you for so many years. And you've been growing so much. In fact, you're probably getting fat. You've been growing so much. But you aren't giving it out anywhere. You're not serving anywhere. He says, you're like the Dead Sea. The Jordan River flows into it, its water and all its resources, flows into the Dead Sea, and it goes into that salt water. It has nowhere to go, and everything in that Dead Sea dies. You're like the Dead Sea. So the man was taken back, but he knew in his heart that what she said was right and true. So the next week, that man signed up, and he became an usher here in this church, back in the days of Fruitville. And he started serving there. And a few short months later, he felt like he needed to step out and start leading a small group. And because he took that step of faith, the Lord has graciously and unbelievably opened doors for him to serve, given him so many opportunities to give his life away for Christ's sake. And I know this man very well, and I can vouch for this story because that man was me. am so grateful that God nudged my wife on that day, used her to challenge me to step out in faith, to step out and serve him and give my life away for Christ's sake. One of the passages that I have held on to has always encouraged me when I would get discouraged or down is 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So any work that you do, when you step out in faith for the Lord, it's not in vain. Trust him. Step out in faith. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to step out in faith today, and I'm going to encourage you at the end of the service to go out on the patio. There's places where you can get involved. There's places you can call the church office and you can get involved. Don't just come here and sit on a Sunday morning. Give your life away for Christ's sake. Get involved. Let him use you. These phrases that I've been giving you this morning, they're not just a bunch of catchy phrases that sound really good on an outline in your bulletin. That's not why I gave them to you. This is what I truly believe that the church is called to do, what we're called to be. The greatest thing that we should know is Jesus Christ. That'll affect everything about who you are, everything about what you do and who you are in the rest of your life. The greatest thing you should become is to grow in Christ. He wants to transform you into his image. He wants to bring to fruition everything that he created you for. The greatest thing you should do is to go for Christ. He wants you to be open to whatever he calls you to do and wherever he calls you to go. What is the Lord calling you to do today? What's he calling you to do as we move forward in the future? He may be calling you to know him. And there may be some of you out there that have never taken that step to give your life to Christ. And you may be feeling a huge pressure right now. And I felt that pressure many, many years ago. And there's many people in this room that have felt that pressure. This may be the day that he is calling you to take a step of faith and give your life to him. And all you have to do in the quietness, when I pray in just a few minutes, you just have to say, "I believe that you are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that you died on that cross for me. And because you died on that cross, you paid the debt for my sins that could never be paid. And you offer me the free gift of salvation. And I want it. I want that gift. I want to have the assurance of that man who was dying on his deathbed with cancer and had so much peace and so much confidence. I want that assurance today. And you can take that step. You can accept that gift by asking Jesus to come in and say, "I want that." He may be nudging you today because you need to tell somebody about the hope that you have. You need to share Jesus with somebody. He may be putting that man, that woman, that person on your mind right now. And you need to leave here and you need to go share the hope and the faith that you have in Christ. He may be telling you need to grow in Christ. You need to take a step of faith. And you know, the challenge, look at your own life. Are you really growing? Get involved in the community group. Get involved in the women's study. Get involved in the men's study. Take a step of faith. Get involved in the prayer time. Let him show you what he has for you. And he may be calling you to go for him, to really step out, not just take in, not just soak in, but to step out and start serving him. Find a place to get involved. Give your life away for Jesus' sake. We need you. We need everybody here to take their role in this body and to serve with their gifts. So take that step today. New Year's is a time of new beginnings. It's a great time to strip away all the excess baggage, all the garbage that we may have accumulated over the year. It's a great time for a fresh start. Ask yourself right now, what is the most important thing that I should? And then fill in that blank. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this morning, for each person that is here. Just thank you for your amazing grace. The next breath that we take is really all because of your grace. And Father, we are indebted to you for your son Jesus and what he's done for us and the hope that he gives us, the confidence he gives us, the assurance that we have in him. And there may be some people out there today that have never taken that step to give their life to Jesus, and they can do that right now in the quietness of this moment. They can admit that they're a sinner, and they can recognize that you're the Son of God and you died for them on a cross to pay that debt. And that if they just accept that free gift, if they say, Jesus, I want that, that you will give them the assurance of salvation, the hope of eternal life. And they could take that step today. And there may be some of us out there that you are just prodding us to go and to share our faith, to share the hope that we have in Christ with someone that we know that is lost. Help us to do that, Lord. Maybe some of us that just have been stagnant, and maybe we need to take a step of faith and start growing, and start watching you transform our lives into something beautiful, something refined, something amazing that you can use. And then there may be some of us today that need to take a step just to go for you, just to get involved. Take a step of faith. We've been embarrassed. We've been insecure, just not willing to step out. Maybe today is the day that we step out and get involved and find a place to serve using the gifts, using the thing that you called us to. So, Father, we want to thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are a God of new beginnings and you have so much for this church to do in the future, and we are so excited about that. And we most of all thank you for Jesus. And it is in his wonderful, mighty, and great name. Amen.